Turn your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
That's right, it's time for a little bit of Spaced Out news, all things space, and I'm joined by a BFM space expert from the Stardome. Josh, are you on the line?
Kia ora, I am here.
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm very good, how are you?
Can't complain. I can't complain. It's a beautiful day outside, so I'm not allowed legally to complain. What have we got? I think, if I remember rightly, last time we talked, we had a little bit of a conversation about the dark side of the moon and about landing on the dark side of the moon. And one of the things that has cropped up this week is China successfully landing on the far side of the moon to collect samples. I think we talked about, I was sort of like, haven't we got enough rocks from the moon? But you seem to think that we don't.
Yeah, I think when we last spoke, it was China had launched to the moon, and then they landed on Saturday. So they've now landed. They're on the ground. And yeah, they've landed on the far side of the moon for their first sample return mission, which would be the first in the world from the far side of the moon. Amazing achievement. But yeah, it's an area of the moon we don't know a lot about. You know, simply because it doesn't face the Earth, we can't directly see it. So it's a pretty big deal for China to get on the moon. You know, the video is really amazing too, to see that probe flying down and then landing.
I mean, I wonder if it present some extra logistical issues having to do everything in the dark. I mean, I assume a lot of space travel is done in blackness, but you know, in terms of landing and doing practical things, what do they have? Some big floodlights?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that it's dark per se. I think a lot of people say the dark side of the moon. It's not that it's dark. It gets the same amount of light as, you know, the near side of the moon. But it's basically, because we can't see that side from Earth, there are technical, there are logistical things around it, you know, because it's on the far side. You can't directly communicate with Earth because the moon is blocking you. So if you send something there, you have to have infrastructure. So you have to have other spacecraft or satellites which can, you know, send signals back to the Earth, essentially relay signals. So China's already put in that work. They do have other space probes around the moon which are actually sending those signals from the one that's landed on the surface. And they're the only country that has that at the moment. So if America, for example, landed on the far side, they don't have that infrastructure at the moment. So you know, China, they really are racing ahead with their lunar exploration.
There we go. Very misleading name, Dark Side of the Moon. I like the way, Josh, that you've said Far Side of the Moon, which has made me feel a lot better about my mistake. Because I just assumed over there, you know, there's not much going on, not much light. But, of course, the Earth isn't giving off the light, is it? God, if I just thought about it for 2 seconds.
No, people say it all the time, but, yeah, it gets the exact same amount of light as the near side.
There we go. So it's just the dark side in terms of lack of communication that we just can't see it all the time.
Mm.
There we go.
Yeah, pretty much.
Another story is the strong aurora visible in Auckland and all over the world, with more likely to come in the following months and years. Before we get onto this, I can't remember if we've spoken before all of the Southern Lights brouhaha. Did you manage to see any of the, is it Aurora Australis? Is that the one?
Yeah, Australis is the one down here. Well, unfortunately, I was on holiday and I was in the States when it happened. So I didn't see it. I was really annoyed seeing everyone in New Zealand seeing the aurora in Auckland.
Well, not everyone, because I wasn't even in the States. I was in bed.
Or asleep, yeah.
But yeah, so you didn't manage to catch the aurora. But judging from this, maybe some more aurora coming our way in the not-too-distant future?
Yeah, I didn't see it, unfortunately, but it's very rare to see aurora so far north, you know, here in Auckland. But what we're seeing at the moment with the sun is the sun basically goes through a solar cycle, which is about 11 years. So you get these highs and lows of a lot of solar activity. We're currently in that kind of high period from the next kind of from now until the next 12, 18 months. The sun will be reaching what we call solar maximum. So you get a lot more solar flares, a lot more stuff being shot out into space. And that's what's actually creating that aurora. So I think we're going to see more of these. They're going to kind of ramp up over the next few years. And hopefully we get a few more chances to actually see it in Auckland, because it's a really rare thing. And it's also just, you know, really amazing to see.
I'm still yet to see it. So you and I are on the same page at the same place. There. Yeah. Oh well, at least we'll get another chance.
Yeah, and the problem in Auckland is, you know, it's so hard to tell, is that the aurora or is that light pollution? So,
yeah. Is that just the North Shore?
Literally.
And finally, a large bright fireball has lit up the skies over Portugal and Spain. What was it? Was it an alien craft?
I'd love to confirm that it was. Unfortunately, it turns out it was a piece of a comet. So not as exciting as an alien craft.
At least a comet is better than, you know, sometimes it's just space junk.
Mm, yeah, and usually it is. Often you see a lot of, you know, debris falling down, especially if it's a lot slower. But yeah, it was filmed by quite a lot of people, so we had a lot of, you know, kind of tracking of what it was, how fast it was moving. And the European Space Agency confirmed that it's probably likely a piece of comet. So yeah, nothing too crazy, but it's just really cool. I mean, we don't often get videos of, you know, these really big, bright, you know, giant pieces of stuff falling through the atmosphere. So always really cool to see.
Is this the kind of thing that can't be predicted? Because you would think, you know, you'd say, let's say the film Armageddon. You know that the asteroid's coming from a long way away. Things like comets, bits of comet, are they just too small to detect or is no one looking out for them? What's the story there?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the case. I mean, we know of all of the really large and, you know, potentially dangerous objects. We know the orbits and the paths, and nothing is predicted to hit Earth. But in saying that, the smaller something gets, the harder it is for us to find. So there are lots of objects that could be, you know, 10, 20, 50, maybe even 100 meters across, which could cause damage on Earth. But a lot of them are simply too small to track. And we've had instances where we've had stuff fall to the Earth. And, you know, we had no idea that it was there, essentially. So we know of any catastrophic things, but things which could still, you know, cause damage on the Earth, we don't know of everything. So there is always that really, really small chance that, you know, these objects could hit the ground, you know, blow a house up or something.
Oh, boy, yeah. I mean, I remember seeing some footage of people who had comets, you know, small pieces of rock come flying through their roof and land smouldering on the carpet, which is always a frightening thought.
Yeah, there was that one, and I think about 10 years ago in Siberia, it exploded, and yeah, it shattered windows, injured people, and we had no idea it was coming. So yeah, it just goes to show.
Well, there we go. I mean, I guess there's nothing you can do about it, but watch this, watch the skies.
Yeah, just cross your fingers.
Anything happening at the Stardome this week, Josh?
We just released our rest of the year catalogue for our sci-fi films. So yeah, we've got our final eight for the year, which have just come out. Some really good ones in there. So yeah, definitely check those out on the website if you want to come watch a awesome sci-fi under the stars.
Have you got one you're particularly excited about? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Honestly, we've got Interstellar tomorrow, which I'm not going to try and push it because it's sold out because it's such a good film. And Wall-E is one of my favorite sci-fis too, the Disney Pixar film, so I'm quite excited to watch that.
There we go. Go and check out the catalogue of sci-fi films playing at the Stardome. Thank you, Josh. I will be speaking to you again in a fortnight.
All right, no worries. Speak to you then.
See you, man.
Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.